The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord. Who do people say that I am? But who do you say that I am? Two familiar questions in a familiar passage, and oftentimes we hear it preached of Jesus asking us personally, "Who do you say that Jesus is?" But an important thing to remember of this particular passage is Jesus does not ask the question in a vacuum. Nor does Peter give his response in a vacuum. This is not an isolated incident in the Gospel of Mark. But rather, it is the final point of a process that has been building up gradually since the very first chapter in Mark. And that process has a lot to do with a phenomenon in the Gospel of Mark known as the Messianic secret, in which Jesus wants to keep secret the fact that he is the Messiah. And he regularly tells those who are recipients of his miracles not to tell anyone about it. And of course, the story is usually the same. They do anyway. Now, one might sarcastically say, well, Jesus perhaps told them not to say something knowing that they would, and that perhaps ensuring they would, he told them not to get the word out. But in addition to being somewhat cynical, that would be like saying God gave us the Ten Commandments knowing we would break them. And God doesn't necessarily work that way. God perhaps isn't as sarcastic as the rest of us, but it really speaks more of us to the fact that Jesus gave them a simple commandment and they couldn't do it. But it all begins when he actually cures a man of the demon that possessed the man. And the demon was the first one to declare Jesus, saying, "Why are you tormenting me? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." And one might say, well, who better to receive an endorsement than your very enemy? But Jesus, on the other hand, tells the demon to be quiet and come out of the man. And the demon obeys. Subsequently, Jesus cures a leper and then other cures after that. And with the cures of human beings, Jesus says, "Do not say anything to anyone." And where the demon obeyed Jesus, the human beings didn't. They would go and they would proclaim it. Now, one might say, well, if I had a dreaded disease like cancer or AIDS or diabetes or even something like depression or schizophrenia or epilepsy, and I was cured by the power of God, I would want to proclaim it from the rooftops. I had someone come up to me after Mass one time and actually say that, to which I asked them, "Even if Jesus told you not to?" To which this person said something very brilliant. They said, "Well, Jesus just has to understand." Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the essence behind every sin ever committed by anyone. I know better than God. whether God speaks to us through the prophets, or through the church, or through the law. The essence of all sin is, I know better, so I'm going to do my own thing. And we see from the very first human being, the leper, who disobeys Jesus' simple command, it says, as a result, Jesus could not go into the towns openly because the people wanted to take him and make him king, but he had to remain in isolated places, basically like the leper did before his cure. In other words, the leper simply going and telling everybody was not a help to Jesus, it was a hindrance. It got in the way of Jesus' ministry. And it progresses throughout the Gospel of Mark. At one point, Jesus says, don't even go into the village. At another point, Jesus says, take the long way home. And another place it says very plainly, the more he told them not to, the more they proclaimed it. Now we get to today's gospel, and Jesus is asking, what are they saying? People are now talking about him, and he's saying, who do people say that I am? And if you noticed, they're getting it wrong. They're speaking, even though no one has commissioned them or sanctioned them to go out and proclaim. They're doing so anyway, and they're getting it wrong. Whether it's out of malice, because they're just going to do whatever they want anyway, or enthusiasm, because they're so joyful for their cure, they're getting it wrong. And this may have been the reason why Jesus told them not to tell anyone. You even notice in today's gospel, those who did obey him, Peter and the apostles, they got it right. You are the Christ. But no sooner did Jesus expand on that understanding, they who had remained with him and listened to him and obeyed him, that immediately Peter jumps the gun and reprimands him because he had a different understanding of what the Christ should be, to which case Jesus tells him, you are judging not by God's standards but by man's. Ergo, Jesus' continued instruction after Peter's profession, tell no one that I am the Christ. They had more to learn, more to listen to, more teachings to be exposed to before they were ready to proclaim. And those who just jumped the gun, even with the best of intentions, which, as you all know, is not what paves the way to heaven. Even with the best of intentions, proved to be a hindrance to Christ's message and his ministry. In other words, even out of enthusiasm, we need to make sure as we proclaim the gospel that we do know what it is we're proclaiming, that we come to understand it, that we are continually nourished by the Word of God, that we delve into the teachings of the church, even the hard ones, even the ones we wish weren't there. Because a lot of people say a lot of things, even down to today, about Jesus Christ. What do they say about him? Well, some say he's just a great teacher, but deny his divinity. C.S. Lewis has a very interesting rebuttal to that, because he says there are only three possibilities if Jesus is just a good teacher. One, he's crazy because he claims to be the Son of God, the light of the world, whose flesh you must eat, and he's no more sane than the people in the asylums who claim to be Napoleon or themselves God. He's either insane or he's lying and deliberately deceiving you in what he is saying, the outlandish association he makes himself with God. But if he's not insane or lying, he's telling us the truth, which means he's more than just a good teacher. He is who he says he is. So we can't just simply say he's a good teacher, but those who come to know Christ, those who come to listen to his word, come to a true profession of faith as Peter professes. You are the Christ. And we are called to constantly grow in that faith. And not only what do people say about Christ, even down to today, but the question might also be, what do people say about the teaching of the church? Some people misunderstand teachings of the church. I remember a friend of mine, very well educated, very successful in a career, in a conversation at one time, I can't remember what exactly led up to it, but he rather flippantly said to me, well, the church condemns evolution. To which I answered, it does. To which he answered, doesn't it? But he sure was sure of himself until I questioned it. Which, by the way, folks, the Catholic Church was one of very few churches that didn't outright condemn evolution, but has always respected it as a theory. But here's someone who didn't understand that, who knows how many people he said that to speaking as a Catholic. And that temptation can still linger on many different teachings, sometimes the hardest ones for us to either understand or accept, because they're either difficult to live, difficult to understand, or, let's face it, politically incorrect and out of the mainstream value systems of today. People have lots of things to say about church teaching, oftentimes without really understanding those teachings. At the same time, Christ might even ask us today about the church itself. What are people saying about the church? And I'll tell you, folks, in the last couple of weeks, with all the news we've been hearing, people are saying lots of different things about the church. Some of them know what they're saying. They've been a part of it. They've been in it. They have a faith that is in it and that's incorporated in their faith in Christ. And then there are people who say other things. Sometimes it causes consternation, and sometimes it's out of a lack of understanding of the whole dynamic aspect of the church in God's plan and God's work throughout the world. But sometimes speaking from that standpoint does damage, more damage than good. But we are called to have that deeper understanding, not to jump the gun, even out of the best intentions and enthusiasm. Jesus asks us those same questions and calls us, as he does with the apostles, including Peter, to a deeper understanding as we grow more and more in our embracing and our learning and our understanding of that faith. As Jesus continues to ask us, who do you say that I am? What do you say about church teaching? What do you say about the church that I founded and put to work upon this earth? Let us pray that we, in the midst of and perhaps in spite of what great love we have for Christ, the enthusiasm we have for our faith, the turmoil we might feel, the scandal we might feel, the excitement, the consternation, that we remember we are called to be people who rationally keep our heads, dutifully listen to that Word of God to deepen our faith, deepen our understanding of His Word, His teachings, and the church He established, so that when we are asked by Christ or anybody else, who do you say that I am? We can answer from a well-grounded, substantial standpoint of faith, not participate in that which would hinder the work of Christ, but one that truly is a help, because our answer is one of evangelization of the truth that we profess, a truth that has at its basic component of the man who brings us here today, gives us his Eucharist as our food, calls us to community and evangelization as his church. All that begins with the basic question he asks, who do you say that I am?